The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 19th, 2011 in Klang, Malaysia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha. So, this is the most auspicious occasion, initiation ceremony. Initiation means beginning. It does not mean the business is finished. It means the business now is formally beginning. This is like when you enroll in the university, you register. It's not that when you register that you are now a graduate. Registration is the beginning of your career, your academic career. So the actual beginning, that is when one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Adau garashvayam sadharma prachcha. That is stated by Srila Rupa Goswami. In the very beginning, the very first step is that one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Adau shraddha tata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya. You see, the first thing is you have faith, and then you become interested to associate with the pure devotees, and then you become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and you follow the regulative principles of devotional service under his orders. This initiation ceremony means now the initiate is making this commitment. Now I will follow the orders of the spiritual master. This is my only business, you see. This is a very significant step. If one takes the initiation vows with all seriousness, dutifully accepts the new identity as the disciple of the spiritual master, and faithfully lives in that identity, and never deviates from that identity, from the very day of initiation, indeed, from the very moment of initiation, the initiate enters into his eternal identity. Prabhupada explained this in his lecture one time in Los Angeles in 1974. Here's exactly what he said. Deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau garashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately, immediately. And if you continue on the advice and instruction of the spiritual master, of the Shastra, then you become deathless. No more death. So that's, if you continue on the advice, it's a very important thing. Why does Prabhupada say the instruction of the spiritual master or the Shastra? Because actually they are non-different. The spiritual master is the embodiment of the Shastra. He presents to you the science of Krishna consciousness as it is given in the Shastra. There is the person Bhagavatam and there is the book Bhagavatam. What does the Bhagavatam say? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You must every day regularly hear the Bhagavatam. This means if there's no Bhagavatam class to attend here at the temple on the morning, every morning, then at your own home, every morning, read Bhagavatam. Even if only a few minutes, even if just reading quickly one verse, if you have a very busy schedule, then at least read 5-10 minutes Bhagavatam every morning. Instead of looking at the newspaper, you can read the Bhagavatam. That is the real news. So, we must nityam bhagavata sevaya. We must regularly read Bhagavatam on a daily basis, and we must serve the spiritual master. He is the person Bhagavatam. There's the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Both are required. The book Bhagavatam tells us who is the actual person Bhagavatam, and the person Bhagavatam engages us practically in the process of sadhana bhakti so that we can enter into the Bhagavatam and be living in the Bhagavatam for all of eternity. So initiation means now the initiates are entering into their eternal identity. Now they are entering into deathlessness if they keep their vows. If they violate their vows, then the whole thing is spoiled, you see. But now you're taking vows of initiation. If you will keep those vows, then you will live, you'll have a deathless existence. And this body will simply be an external covering that you will discard as you continue to progress on the pathway of spiritual advancement. Just like when a rocket is shot into outer space, we've seen in the U.S. when they blast the rockets into outer space, they have a big booster rocket, then they have a small, and then that is dropped off at a certain time, then they have a more smaller rocket which is dropped off again, and finally the space capsule goes into orbit. So this material body is simply a booster rocket which is used to help us get out of this material atmosphere. And when this body is no longer necessary to help us get out of this material atmosphere, then well, there's no need for material body. This material body is simply a tool to help us get out of the material atmosphere. Did you know that? You don't have to have a material body. But right now we need one because we're in the material atmosphere. If this material body is properly utilized, then it is like a booster rocket to get us out of this material existence. So how do you properly utilize the material body? You bow down before the spiritual master. You bow down before the Krishna. You engage your hand in touching the beads. You engage your lips in vibrating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You engage your tongue in doing what? Taking prasad. You see? In this way, if you will take this material body and you will utilize it in the service of the Lord, then this will be your last material body. This material body will simply be a booster rocket to propel you out of this material existence. And when you're sufficiently advanced, you can simply drop it and continue in your progress towards Krishna's transcendental abode. Prabhupada always wanted on this occasion that the 10 offenses should be avoided. Why? Why the 10 offenses should be mentioned at the initiation ceremony? The other day I asked one disciple, is this sufficient for going back to Godhead? Following the 4 regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds, is that sufficient? He said yes. I said no, this is not sufficient. Simply to chant 16 rounds and follow the 4 principles is not sufficient for going back to Godhead. One has to, Prabhupada said, you can chant for millions of years, but if you're chanting with offense, you remain in this material existence. One has to learn how to become an offenseless chanter of the holy names. Therefore, we have the 10 namaparads. We have to know what are these namaparads, and we have to avoid these namaparads. If one is physically sick in the end of his life, and he can't do any service, well, that means that Krishna wants him to focus on his chanting, to purify himself within the heart. If my body is too sick to do service, then I have to purify my consciousness, how much I'm taking shelter of the name. I have to master the art of diving deeper, deeper, deeper into the name. You see, when we're old and invalid, we cannot do any service. Our bodies are, but we have the name. It means we have to dive deeper and deeper into the name. So that diving deeper into the name, that begins from the very moment of initiation. It is called Harinam initiation. The spiritual master is now fully empowering you to chant the holy name with pure heart. He's giving you the Shakti. He's giving you the blessings. He's giving you the mercy that now you can chant with full absorption and full devotion. So one has to do his side. Not that the guru does all the work. The guru gives the blessings, but the disciple has to take the blessings. You see? Just like the rain is falling everywhere, but the city streets don't accept the rain. It rolls off the street into the gutter and it goes somewhere else. But the fertile soil accepts that rainwater. So don't you be like a city street. The spiritual master gives you the mercy and it just rolls off and goes somewhere else. You be like the fertile soil. That when the mercy of the spiritual master comes, you take that deep into you. You see, deep into your heart. So disciple means fertile soil. Soft heart. If you're proud and you're puffed up, the mercy may come to you, but it will just roll off and go somewhere else. But if you have a soft heart, then that mercy will fully absorb and it will nourish you in pure bhakti. So the 10 offenses are as follows. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. We have to respect all the devotees. The devotees of ISKCON are very dedicated for preaching work and spreading the holy name. We have to respect all of them, even if we sometimes disagree with them. We have to respect all of them. Number two, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. This is not, Krishna is not another one of the gods. He is Deva Deva, he is the god of the gods. You should never think that Krishna is another one of the gods. If you do, your chanting will never be perfect. Krishna is not another one of the gods. It is clearly described in this, all throughout the Vedic literatures. It is made very clear, if you study the Vedic scriptures, you will see that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum, the ultimate source of all energies. Number three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. That means you have to follow his instructions. If he tells you to do something, you do it. You don't think, well, Gurudev, I have a better idea than what you told me. Or Gurudev, I didn't like that order, so now I'm going to reject you. You should give me the orders that I like, otherwise you're no longer my spiritual master, you see. That's called keeping a pet dog, you see. If he's naughty, I throw him out of the house. No, don't take a guru as a pet. That as long as you please me, then I will pat you on the head. Otherwise, I will kick you. Don't be like that. You become the sold-out servant of your spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, the literature and pursuance of the Vedic version. These books are great treasure houses of transcendental knowledge. We have to always respect them. Number five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. One may say the one utterance of Krishna contains more nectar than the entire universe can contain. You may say, well, that's simply some poetry. That's simply some fancy poetry to attract me to chant. And the name doesn't have that much nectar. It couldn't. There's no way that the two syllables Krishna contain so much nectar that the universe couldn't even hold all of it. There's no way it could be that good. This is simply an exaggeration, some hype. Convince me to chant. No. Don't think like that. No matter how much the name is glorified, there's no way you can glorify it enough. The name is unlimitedly glorious. So never think the glories are some imagination or some hype. To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The Sanskrit scholars are very fond of doing that. Well, Krishna means black, and black means dark, and dark means ignorance, so Krishna means ignorance. No. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's not ignorance. Number seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. This is very sinful. Well, you know, I get carried away. I had some illicit sex, but, you know, I'll chant some extra rounds to make up for it, and this way I continue with my business, you see. Don't think like that. Sometimes the devotees get carried away and they engage in sinful activity. They shouldn't think that I can make up for it by doing some extra japa. No. You have to give up your sinful activities. Don't sin and then think you can counteract it by chanting the holy names. That's the greatest offense, to use the holy name in that way. Number eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities. That, well, you know, I wanted to get a raise at work, and so we'll have a home program, a kirtan program in our house, so I get the blessings to get a raise at my job. Don't think like that. Don't use the name for your material purpose. If you do, you're just cheating yourself. You see, you're cheating yourself. Because you're thinking that money is more important than bhakti. You have to understand that bhakti is more important than anything else. Even if you were offered the post of Brahmaji, the chief demigod of the entire universe, that would be nothing to attain bhakti compared to attaining bhakti. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Sometimes we see devotees are a little overzealous. They want to, you know, tell all the detailed things about Krishna consciousness to some person who's an outsider. I've seen that happen. One of the readers on my e-course, he sent some quotes from Prabhupada to a friend of his who was not a devotee, and all this person did was blaspheme Krishna by reading these quotes. You have to be very careful what you give people. You told about Krishna marrying all the queens, you see. And so this person then started criticizing Krishna like he was some kind of a materialistic, lusty, sinful person. So you have to be very careful what you tell people about Krishna, the science of Krishna consciousness. You know, you have to give people what they can, in a way that they can appreciate it. And you have to give them the basic things, and then don't go into the esoteric things that are more difficult to understand for an outsider. You have to give them the basic, simple things that they can understand and appreciate. In this way, purify them, and then bring them into the more esoteric understandings of the science of bhakti. And just because you gave somebody a quote, he sent a quote from Prabhupada's books, that's all he did, or from Prabhupada's conversational lecture. But he wasn't very intelligent. He gave some quote that just made this person blasphemous against Krishna. Don't be a foolish person. Well, I gave a quote from Prabhupada. No. You have to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. You have to give people what's going to help them become attracted to Krishna and not envious or blasphemous. It's a very important principle. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Now, it's not wrong to be attached. In fact, attachment is one of the symptoms of an advanced devotee. First, there's faith, then there's association, there's initiation, there's purification, there's taste, and then there's attachment. So we don't say attachment is bad, we say become attached to Krishna. You see. And if you maintain material attachments, that means you're not becoming attached to Krishna. Take your tendency to be attached and become attached to Krishna. You don't have to worry about other attachments. Just become attached to Krishna, and that attachment to Krishna will be so much more wonderful than these other attachments. The other attachments will go away automatically. Just try to become more and more attached to Krishna's name, Krishna's fame, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, Krishna's deity form, the everything about the Shastra, the holy dhams, everything, Tulsi Devi. Become more and more attached to all of these things. Attached to rising early before sunrise. Rama Maharta here begins at around 5:20. So be up by 5:20 in the morning. Be up by 5 o'clock. Become attached to Brahma Muhurta. Getting up by 5 o'clock, no later than 5 in the morning. Be attached to getting up early and chanting Hare Krishna, taking your bath, having a nice sadhana every morning. Become attached to these kind of things, you see. And then your material attachments, they'll go away. Because once you get a higher taste, who cares for the lower taste, you see. If I give you $1 million, you may become very happy. I say, well, give it back now. Oh, I didn't really mean it. I wasn't really giving it to you. You become disappointed. But I say, no. What I'm really doing is I really wanted to give you $1 billion. So give me the $1 million back and here's your billion. Would you mind giving up $1 million to get $1 billion, you see? So your material attachments, they may be $1 million, but Krishna consciousness is $1 billion. So just become more and more attached to Krishna. And then your material attachments, they'll just fade away. They'll just fade away like a sun setting in the west. History. They become history. Because now you have a new attachment. Now I'm attached to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renowned, all-wealthy, all-famous, all-knowledgeable person who's standing on the bank of the Jamuna during the full moon night of the Sharad season at Keshi Ghat, playing the fifth note on his flutes and wearing a peacock feather in his hair and yelling with a yelda dhoti on and completely attracting the minds of all the gopi girls so they completely forget about for society, friendship, and love, you see. So we have to become like those gopi girls, you see. All we know is Krishna. Only Krishna. All I know is Krishna, Krishna. Nothing else. Everything else is kind of more or less a joke, you know. Society, friendship, and love. Who needs it? I have Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So in this way, take this process. Become more and more attached to Krishna. Krishna. Give your love, like Vishnujana used to say, Vishnujan Swami, give your love to Krishna. The way he would say Krishna, you just go, oh wow. Give your love to Krishna. Oh yeah, gotta give my love to Krishna. Just give your love to Krishna. Instead of loving a cat or a dog, give your love to Krishna. See, what your cat and dog will give you. Give your love to Krishna. You don't need a cat or a dog. Give your love to Krishna. So in this way. All right.